I would not have been allowed to stand here and share the gift that God has given me on the inside. And I just am sometimes overcome with gratefulness how Pastor Lanny makes a place for all of us, and I am appreciative to him for that. I was excited when he asked me to stand in for him this morning, since he was going to be in Korea sharing God's word and seeing what the Lord is doing on the other side of the world. And yet, I was also a little trepidatious because I have a particular history with the Lord. And that history is, whenever he gives me a word to share, he requires that I live through it in advance. And so sometimes when I understand by the Spirit what it is we're going to share, I'm excited because I know that's going to be fun to live through. And then other times when I hear the subject inside, I go, oh God, do we have to go there? I don't want to go there. I know what that means. I've been around long enough to understand that if we're going to talk about faith, ooh, that means I'm going to have to live through an experience that requires faith. And that's what he whispered to me this time. Pastor Lanny had been sharing with us over the last several months some of the foundational principles of Christianity. And he shared on the principles of faith, I think it was about a month ago. And he had a catchphrase that absolutely captured my attention. And it was one of those things that even before he invited me to speak, it was turning around in my mind, and I was just sort of letting ruminate inside of me. But he said, faith in faith is not faith. Oh. Okay, if I do that one more time, they're coming off. Faith in faith is not faith. Now, I know that. You know, I know that, but sometimes when I'm in the middle of a particularly trying experience and I begin to pray, and I think that if I can just pray long enough, if I can just pray every moment my mind thinks about it, if I can just get the phrasing of the words right, if somehow I can make it this spiritual mantra that somehow I can make the outcome look like I want it to look. And then I'm reminded, oh, just praying the prayer of faith. Yeah, they're coming off. Praying the prayer of faith in faith is not faith. The scripture tells us in Hebrews 2:12, that this is the universal truth. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I know this. Jesus is the author of my faith. It's not about getting the words right. It's not about praying without ceasing. It's about faith in the author of my faith, who is Jesus. Now, we know that our Christian faith functions in relationship to the object. My faith begins and ends in the Lord. And so the more I know about the author of my faith, the more I know about faith. You know that the world and the times that we live in demand faith. And they demand hope, just to get through one day to the next. And the only true source of hope in our world is God the Father, as he's expressed through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the true source. That is the true bedrock and foundation of our faith. And so, it's that active working in our life that comes in our own unique history that becomes the bedrock of our faith. You know, this is an interesting thing. I have a very unique history in the Lord. And my history in prayer and faith is different even from my husband's. And we live through a lot of the same circumstances together. Your history in the Lord is unique, Marcia. Nobody else has your experiences. Nobody else has been with you at the feet of Jesus in prayer and seen him deliver in faith to you. Nobody else is like you, Connie. Nobody else. You are unique in your history with the Lord. And I really believe that the history that we have in the Lord is one of the most powerful weapons that we have in our arsenal. It's powerful. And it's one of the first things that seems to just sort of fade away in the past when we are in a crisis, when we are in need of an answer to prayer. Somehow the voices that come at us from out here, the voices of fear, overwhelm the quiet voice of our history in the Lord. And it's so powerful. I really believe that the Lord is invested in helping each one of us build that special history with him. In fact, I've often marveled at what he does for new Christians. It is so fun to listen to new believers talk about their answers to prayer, because God answers really crazy stuff, really wild stuff. And I realize it's because he's trying to build a history with them. And oftentimes when people come to the Lord, they're in great need. And so they need a history fast. And they need something they can depend on fast. And in my mind's eye, I see that it's a little bit like speed dating. The Lord gets in there and he's like, yes, 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 yes. And you're like, oh, wow, the Lord says yes to me. And that's great, because in that power dating, they are building a unique history together of the Lord listening, hearing, and answering in a very demonstrative way in their lives. So how do we build a history in the Lord? Well, of course, there's the Word. We always start with the Word. But there's more than just the Word. When you're looking at the Word, you want to be specifically looking to know the author of your faith in particular ways. If you want to know how to pray, then you have to know who you're praying to. We need to know his nature. How is he predisposed to answer in certain circumstances? I need to know his character, what things he will and won't do for me. I need to know his actions of love. I need to know his ways. Now, that's kind of big when you put it in the context of looking at God. But if you bring it back down to a relationship level, there's a person in my life that I've known for about 14 years. And in the beginning, we were just acquaintances. Didn't know them very well. They didn't know me very well. But over the years, I have come to know her character, her nature, her love, and her ways. I know that if I get really, really sick, she's going to go home and make chicken soup. And she's going to bring it over. I know that if I suddenly have to go out of town and there I am, I don't know what to do with my dog, she's going to open her doors and let me bring the dog over. And my dog wasn't always very well behaved, I should just say right up front. I know that if I am in a crisis and I need to pray with somebody, I can call her in the middle of the night. If I can wake her up, we'll pray. I know that if my daughter is in a crisis, she will do anything to help her, as if it were her own daughter. About a month ago, my husband was out of the country. I walked out in front of the house and the car had a flat tire. It was my husband's car. I wanted to fix it before he got home so he didn't have to walk home, get home, first thing on Monday morning, fix a tire. But I have a problem. I'm not quite heavy enough to dance on the jack. The jack. When they're put on with that drill, they're hard to get off. And I can get up there and dance around and I can't get the lug nuts off. So I was just sort of sharing that with her. 2 days, somebody showed up at my door at 8 o'clock at night. They came just to take the lug nuts off my car. I know her. I know her character. I know her nature. I know her love toward me, and I know her ways. This is the kind of relationship that the Lord is looking for with us. It's a long-term committed relationship. And I want to just say right off the bat, it's like any relationship. You can't get a 60-year committed marriage relationship in the first year with the Lord. It can't be done. You have to live through it, just like life. This year, I'm going to get some nuggets in my relationship with Him that I didn't have last year. And next year, I'm going to get more. We start off dating. We fall in love. We learn to trust. We learn to find out what their priority list is. You know, one thing I know about my friend, she has a priority list. And at the top of her list is God and her children. And I know better than to ask of her something that violates those two priorities. That's what a living relationship is about. I know to ask things that she can say yes to. And that's how our relationship with the Lord is. It's a growing, living, breathing, viable thing. We want to build a unique relationship with the Lord, and we want to see it as ours. This is me and Him. And on this relationship, I can draw in times of need and in times of joy. We want to be careful that when we don't need something, that we ignore Him altogether. And I will be the first to admit that when things are going well, gravity takes over and I'm happy to be fat, dumb, and doing nothing. So He motivates me. Hello, we haven't talked. Pastor Lanny told us that faith has a measure, and it is the size of the object of our faith that determines the size of our faith. I'm going to say that again because it's a little hard to grab hold of. Faith has a measure, and it is the size of the object of our faith that determines the size of our faith. When you begin with the Lord, the object of your faith is small. You don't know that much about Him. But as you live together and know Him better, the object of your faith becomes enlarged and your boundaries of faith become enlarged. We each receive a measure of faith, and then we get to build on it as we go through the years. Romans 12:3 says, "For through grace given to me, I say that everyone among you should not think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think so is to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." It takes faith just to begin the relationship with Him. But He gives that to us as our first free gift. And then we take what He gives us, and together the two of us work on the relationship together, and we grow it. And we can begin to define the boundaries of our faith by looking at what we know He said already. We look in here and we find about His character, His nature, His ways, and His love. We find it through reading the stories of the Old Testament. We find it reading the Psalms. I love the Psalms when I'm going through a trying time because it's just so full and rich of real thoughts, real expressions of humanity, a real understanding of another person and what they were going through in their unique history with the Lord. There's an author whose name is Ellen White, and she has a book out that's called Desire of the Ages. It's actually an old book, but the thoughts in it that are captured are really wonderful. And this is one of the quotes from her book. "There is greater encouragement for us in the least blessing we ourselves receive from God than in all the accounts that we can read of the faith and experience of others. The soul that responds to the grace of God shall be like a watered garden. Let us then remember the loving kindness of the Lord and the multitude of his tender mercies. Like the people of Israel, let us set up our stones of witness and inscribe upon them the precious story of what God has wrought for us. Too often we let those things that the Lord has done for us fade into our memories. And we don't hold on to them and keep them in a place where we can go back to them. One of the things that we teach in this church is journaling, writing down the things that the Lord has done for you. If you keep a prayer journal, it's right there. You can go and find it whenever you need it. And that is the optimal way to live. That's the way that we aspire to live. But even though that sounds wonderful, every one of us go through times of doubt, especially when what life has to offer you is right in your face and it doesn't look anything like that. Everyone goes through times of doubt when they're thinking in their heads, God, what are you thinking? I don't get it. This doesn't look right. This will take a little bit of courage, but I want to see if you'll do it. If you have experienced one of those times of doubt, would you raise your hand? Okay, look around. All right. Everyone goes through doubt. Somehow in our minds, we think that the great forefathers and those who have been in the Lord forever never go through times of doubt. Do you know, I'm going to confess this out loud. Every once in a while, when things are really bad, I wake up and I've got the wrong input coming in and my head goes, I wonder if there really is a God that I say that out loud. Everybody has doubts. It's what you do with them that counts. And one of the best things you can do for doubt, because doubt is almost always fear-based. Fear of loss. Fear of something that you hold precious and you don't want to lose, and you're not real sure if he understands your perspective. Because sometimes he just doesn't seem to realize that I want to be God too. I want to know and say what's going to happen. But it doesn't work that way, because he is under the perception that he is God and that he rules. And so it helps if we have a perspective around our doubt. And one of the best things that restores perspective when you're in one of these times is your unique personal history with the Lord. Because everyone in here who names the name of Jesus and has lived in a relationship with him has history. You have times when you have called out to him and he answered you. And when your perspective goes down to this, you want to open it up by remembering what he has already done for you. Now, here's the trick, and I'm going to tell you something. It's a little insider knowledge about God, okay? He is the original artist. He has in his character and in his nature an artist mentality. That's why we have some of those crazy animals that we have. I mean, a dachshund? That's a weird looking animal. I mean, just think through your head the enormity of creativity that he has displayed for us, not just in the animal kingdom, but in our scenery and in our color palettes.
This is a God who loves to be creative. And unfortunately, when we pray, we want him to do what we expect. We want him to answer our prayers in the way we expect them to be answered. Maybe even the way he did it last time. But he is an artist. He has a creative nature. It's boring. He doesn't want to always answer the same way. He expresses his creativeness in his answers to our prayers. And from a perspective of an eternal view. Faith in God is an interesting thing. This is a quote. I'm not going to tell you where I got it from, because then you would go, There will be no source. Faith in God is an interesting thing. The feeling of it comes and goes like intimacy in a relationship. The feeling of it comes and goes. Like the intimacy in a relationship. Sometimes it is so strong, like a rapturous feeling. And at other times it seems distant and lost. But that is not God. That is us. We put up our own barriers with our egos and our pain and our fears of loss. But he is always there, no matter what. Remember that feelings of faith come and go, but God is. He never changes. He is always there, no matter what. I love David because he's so much like me on the inside. And one of my favorite Psalms, I love it because of its humanness. And it's Psalm 71, starting in verse 10. You can't make this Psalm doctrine because some of it isn't doctrinally correct. But you can make it a template for how to cry out to the Lord. For my enemies are whispering against me. They are plotting together to kill me. And in his case, that wasn't figurative. It was real. They were really out to get him. They say, God has abandoned him. Let's go and get him, for there is no one to help him now. And David cries out, oh, God, don't stay away. My God, please hurry to help me. Bring disgrace and destruction on those who accuse me. May humiliation and shame cover those who want to harm me. Little human, little honest. But I will keep on hoping for you to help me. I will praise you more and more. I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long I will proclaim your saving power, for I am overwhelmed by how much you have done for me. I will praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will tell everyone that you alone are good and just. O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I have constantly told others about the wonderful things that you do. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God, but let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the highest heavens, and you have done such wonderful things. Who can compare with you, O God? You have allowed me to suffer much hardship, but you will restore me to life again and lift me up from the depths of the earth. You will restore me to even greater honor and comfort. Once again, then I will praise you with music on the harp because you are faithful to your promises, O God. And I will sing for you with lyre, O Holy One of Israel. This was a real man, and he had a very chaotic life. He was up and down, and it wasn't just medium up and medium down. He was in the experience of man. He had a life. And yet he knew about personal history. And when he was in the pit, he knew to recall his history with the Lord. And he did it out loud. He wrote it down so that all of these thousands of years later, we can still see his thoughts and understand that even when you're in the midst of it, in your humanity, you make room for God. You proclaim your history with him, and you let God be God in the situation that you're currently in. Faith is built on our understanding of God's word and our experience with him in our prayer life and in our life experience. I recently ran across a scripture that I know really, really well. It's in 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians 13:11. If you guys want to turn to it. 1 Corinthians 13:11. You're going to recognize this right away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, we know that this comes in the context of the love chapters. But when I was reading it, I had a whole different understanding of the scripture in another context altogether. When I was a child, I had faith like a child. I prayed like a child, and I understood like a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a woman, I had to put away childish things. I have a story that I've told before. It's really short, but it so fits the context of where we are today. I'm just going to share it quickly. When my daughter was a teenager, we had one of those days where she had a constant stream of requests. I don't remember what they were now, but every single time she asked me something, it was not good. And I couldn't say yes. And she asked me request after request after request. And I was saying, no, 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 no. And finally, I just, in my heart, I reset place in my mother's heart where I said, please, please ask me something I can say yes to. Everything in me is dying to say yes to you. I love you. I want to bless you. I want to give you good things. Ask me something I can say yes to, please. And I think that sometimes, without meaning to, in our maturing process, we find ourselves asking God for things that he cannot say yes to in the context that we're asking for it. And I know that when I have one of those periods of time where I'm praying about something and I'm not getting the answers I'm expecting, the Lord reminds me that I'm an adult now and it's not all about me. I am not the center of the universe. And just because I want it, and I want it now, doesn't mean it's wise and good for him to give me. And I'm reminded to ask him, okay, God, I'm obviously not praying right. What am I missing? Give me perspective. As I pray, I invite your Holy Spirit. I ask your, I welcome him to show me this situation through your eyes. Give me a context that's bigger than me. And show me how to pray, because he's always looking for those vessels who will speak with their mouth what it is he wants to see happen so that we can be part of the process to seeing his work done in the world around us. And you learn how to pray things he can say yes to by finding out what he can say yes to. It's a combination of knowing the word and looking for his eternal perspective in your situation and realizing it's never just about you. There's always a bigger context. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is an interesting scripture, and I'm not really going to touch on it today. I'm just going to read it, and I'm going to give you just one of those little tasty tidbits. Pastor Lanny is going here. In the next couple of weeks, he's going to expound on this verse and build on this little foundation that we've made today. 1 John 5:14. If you want God to say yes, this is really good to know. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. The Amplified Version says, if we make any request in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. Welcoming to talk to us, listening for the bigger context, and understanding who He is and how He acts is key to cooperating with what the Lord is doing in your life and in the lives of the people around you. I like to pray the scriptures, and I won't take time to do it now, but I love to take like Romans 1:6, and I personalize it. I say, may grace and peace be mine from you, O Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 1:2, I like to say, thank you, God, that you are the source of every mercy and the God who comforts me. You comfort me in all my trouble so that I can comfort others. When those around me are in trouble, I can comfort them with the same comfort that God has given me. And this is probably my all-time favorite scripture. I pray that my heart will be flooded with light so that I can understand the wonderful future He has promised me. I ask that you would give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in my knowledge of you. Wisdom and revelation will get you through pretty much any situation you can find yourself in. You can pray that prayer and have confidence that He's going to work with you, that He's going to talk to you, that He's going to show you how to pray, help you pray. I have one other thing that I do that I have really found to be helpful, and I would challenge each and every one of you to try this if you don't do it already. I really believe in a spirit of gratefulness. I believe gratefulness is a really important element of any relationship, and especially so with the Lord. Whenever I pray, I always start by expressing my gratefulness to Him for the last two or three things He did. For me, for my husband, for my family, for my friends, for the children who are my children but not actually of my womb. I thank Him and I say it out loud so that I'm not the only one hearing it. Anybody else who happens to be listening is welcome to listen in. And I express my gratefulness to Him. And it does two things. It reminds me who He is and that I should be grateful. But it also reminds me of my unique history with Him. And it's like an anchor to hang on to. Yes, God, just yesterday, just last week, You did that, and I'm grateful for it. And because I know I have this history with You, I know that I can trust You where I am today and where I'm going tomorrow. I challenge you to be grateful in your relationship with Him and to really water that and let it grow. So here we are at the end. I want to give you a quick recap. Faith in faith is not faith. The size of the object of our faith, which is Jesus, of course, determines the size of our faith. We're each given a measure of faith, and we can each stretch that faith and let it grow. Faith grows through a building of history of experiences. Our faith grows through the knowledge and understanding of the Word, and we can aid that by personalizing the Scripture and making it our own prayer. And remember to express your gratitude to the Lord for what He has done, as well as what He's going to do for you in your life. If you would stand. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence. We thank You, Lord, for Your willingness to be involved in our day-to-day lives. We thank You for Your willingness to build intimacy and faith between us so that we can be a part of Your work in our lives and the lives of the people around us. We thank You and look to You to continue to build this intimacy and relationship. And we thank You for these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Michael.